Vanya Arslanian.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
I wasn't sure if I was going to have anything to talk about today, and then I went down so many rabbit holes. So now
so
I have
exciting.
Lots of kind of random stuff to talk about. Yeah. How are you doing over there?
Great.
You have a wee one around.
I do. I think if anyone's, you know, following us, just a sickness is ripping its way through our house and our bodies. So
oh,
even
no.
myself, I woke up a little bit this morning. I'm like, took a COVID test. No COVID. Just, you know what? It's just like people are hanging out now and people get colds now. And that is what it is.
Yeah, we're back to getting sick again. Which, yeah. you know, honestly, is like probably...
Good for us,
like,
right?
You are supposed to, yeah, you're supposed to get sick and you're supposed to deal with germs and all that kind of stuff.
Germs. Yeah. But
yeah.
otherwise, you know, just still have that puppy and good Lord, if he does not get walked, oh my God, Mike, he's just a crazy person. He's a crazy dog.
It's funny, I guess, because he's a puppy. I guess we just had a lot of space because we I shouldn't say we never walked our dogs. We did walk our dogs from time to time, but we also had like a huge yard.
Yeah.
You have a sizable yard, but
we
I guess,
do,
you
but
know.
He needs, it's not just, you know, exercise by himself. He wants it. He needs like us and attention and that kind of thing, you know, like interaction. He loves it. He's a social dog. What can I say?
Gotcha.
This morning I had to lie to my son because my daughter was staying homesick, but he would have freaked because he likes school, but he says he hates school because he hates naps. So anyways, if he knew that she was staying home, whatever. Anyways, long story short, lied to my son afterwards. I'm like, I need to go to the grocery store, Amelia. So we went. And when we came back, the dog had chewed up one of her adorable sandals. And I'm like,
oh, no.
Oh, my God. And he chewed up some of my tennis shoes. So we just need to get a little more diligent in hiding our shoes and also in, you know, working him out in the morning. I usually can, but I'm, you know, I'm solo parenting this week. So there's that,
gotcha.
Too. It's so fun. I'm living the dream, Mike. I'm living the dream.
It sounds like fun. It sounds like a ton of fun. Yeah, that's funny. I guess, your son hates naps as much as you do? Is that what we're taking from?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. Yes, he does. And he wakes up like a real super bitch. So just like his mommy. Just like his mommy.
Well, I have maybe an update on my driver's license situation.
Oh, dear.
With my eye test and all of that. So a couple of things. I did find out that you actually can do, there's like an app that you can like send away. You can like do an eye exam on your phone and like they will submit it to the DMV. And it's like $49, which is not that much. And I was going to do that. But then I thought, well, why don't I stop by the place where I'd gotten my eye examined and see if they can now submit. And they, so long story short, they can. So I went into I went into where I'd gotten my eyes examined. And I was like, you know, hey, when I had my eye examined, you guys weren't dealing directly with the DMV. Is there any? And she was very quick to be like, oh, yeah, no, we can do that. I can email them. I will say, she was very, I don't know what it is about me that people really think they can talk to me.
Oh,
which
that
I
is
know
true.
Is,
I can,
yeah,
I can verify that. Mike, I'll be with Mike at anywhere and he'll be talking to some older woman who's telling him about her hemorrhoids or something.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like she just, as she was like emailing, she was like telling me about her day, telling me about like this other woman came in and was looking at eyeglasses. And the woman that I'm dealing with was like, are you looking for reading glasses? They're aisle 16 at the end. Like very like,
but like she's like you're my friend, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, yeah. And then was like people. I'm just like dealing with people like that all day. I'm like, well, she's still standing right there. So, and then like telling me about her day and like, you know, it's just one thing after another. I'm just dealing with stuff all day. It was just kind of hilarious how like
just means
open
you're
to me. I guess so. But she couldn't. She also, I will say that part of the way that this story ends is that she ended it by being like, this is not working. I'm just gonna take a Xerox of your driver's license and I'll keep working on it and I'll submit it by the end of the day. So I don't actually know that it ever worked.
I guess
the way that I'll find out is if one day I get pulled over and my license doesn't work. I don't like it. It is kind of a weird where I'm should I have spent the $49 and just like known that it worked? She was like, it'll work. It'll be fine. Like I'll definitely get it done by the end of the day. But you know, there's part of me that's like, I hope that it actually did work. And then as I was leaving, I was like, and I hope your day gets better. And she was like, oh, I shouldn't have said all that to you. And I wanted to be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have. But It's a little late for that. Yeah, it was a very funny situation.
Yeah, I also you're special as all.
I guess. I also I went to the Little Island. Have you heard about this? It was kind of a thing. It was opened a few months ago.
I've heard about it. Tell me more.
So it's very interesting. And in fact, this area of Manhattan is going to play into like several things that I want to talk about. It's on the west side, right around like 14th Street. And they opened this park. I want to say it was Diane von Furstenberg, like her and her husband that like funded it. I think it cost like $10 million,
wow.
Which, you know, there's probably other places that money could have gone, but I'm not against public works and that kind of thing. So this is where they wanted to put their money. And it's very cute. It's really strange. I would actually encourage anyone to like image search New York Little Island, because it's like these little, it almost looks like little like tulip blooms that are all joined together and form this fairly large park area that has, you know, there's like trails, there's a little amphitheater, there's a little spot right in the middle where I think there are going to be like food carts. I will say, like, the nicest public restrooms I've ever been in my life. Like, they were very, like, they looked like you were in a cave almost, but like a nice cave, like a well-lit cave. And it was very interesting. I would encourage anyone to check out the images. It was really, really, it was fun to walk around. I could definitely see it being a place where it'd be fun, like, to get a little picnic going, and you can kind of like sit and then explore. Like I said, there's like a little theater that I assume there'll eventually be performances, and it was very cool. But two things as I was walking around this area, because I had kind of walked down, I was going to work, I think is where I was heading. So I'd gotten off the train around like maybe 34th and had headed into like Chelsea Piers is right there, and I'd never really walked around Chelsea Piers all the way, and I decided to walk on the outside the whole way, which takes you out into the water, and there's like the golfing, I don't think it's called a golfing cage, but like the golfing called the
green
or the run or something like
it's
that.
It's where you just hit the range, the golf
the range, all right,
range.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen, if anyone's ever seen, now I can't think of what movie it is, but it's featured in a lot of like film and television, this big like driving range that's off of Chelsea Piers. And then just below Chelsea Piers, and before you get to the little island, there was this other pier that I should have done more research to see what it used to be, but it's where City Winery is now. And I didn't even realize you can walk out into the water until I kind of like passed the entrance to have done so. And I was like, I'll have to come back and explore that some other time. And so last night I actually got cut from work early, and I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to walk along the water a little bit. It's getting kind of dark, but I like that. And it's, you know, everything's very well lit and it's very pretty. And so I was like, oh, I should go explore this little area. And there was a sign for New York's largest rooftop park. And I was like, well, that's very interesting. So I ended up walking out onto this. It's Pier 57. Little New York trivia. You just subtract 40, and that's what street you're at when you're talking about piers in New York City. So Pier 57 is just right where like 17th Street would be. And it's, they've taken this old pier, and I guess it's going to be like a, it's part of like Google's new headquarters. Like they're going to have a lot of office space there, but it's also City Winery. It's also 350,000 square feet of overwater commercial office space. And there's like a public living room there and environmental tech classrooms. And then, yeah, this huge rooftop pier, sorry, this rooftop park that has also like seating, because it's going to be part of the outdoor venue for Tribeca Film Festival beginning in the fall. Like, it's going to be a permanent outdoor venue. It's really cool. It's another one that I'm like, honestly, like, you should like just image search or like look up Pier 57. And it's really interesting. Like, it's kind of sparse. Like, there's not a lot there, but it's very cool what they've done. I love all these outdoor spaces getting sort of like a facelift along. Because I think about this area when I moved to New York 20 years ago, and it was barren and it was not pretty. And like, you know, like you might walk along the river, but there wasn't anything to do there. Like, it was not very nice. And, you know, even when you lived here, like Christopher Street Pier had gotten that amazing makeover. We used to go and lay out there and just sort of like be by the water. Anyways, kind of random. And I'm going to come back to this at the very end for my random fact. But it's just, I just sort of have enjoyed exploring the waterway in New York City.
I love that, Mike. I feel like I would follow you anywhere. Well, you know that. But I feel like you could seriously charge to be like a tour guide, like a very expensive, high-end tour guide. I would follow you.
I mean, I love that idea. There was a time when There's that New York documentary that's, I think it's now on Amazon Prime that you can watch it. It's like an 8 or 9 part documentary. And I watched all of it. I remember at the time being like, I'm going to watch this over and over until I've memorized all of it. And
I love
I'm a
that.
New York expert. And then I didn't actually watch it a second time, but I'm just fascinated by it. And I understand that like every city has its history, but I just feel like there's something so special about New York City.
Agreed.
And like so, yeah, so specific about like what the city has gone through and how it's changed. And anyways, I'm just enjoying falling back in love over and over again with this city that I love so much. And I'm excited for you to come visit, and then we can go do all these things too. So let's work on that.
Okay,
so that's kind of it. That's my week. Yeah.
It's a good week.
Thank you. Anything in particular you're digging this week?
Yeah, I have something specific. I have a movie that Ooh. Was like, you know, my husband kept saying, we should watch this. I hear it's really good. And I keep being like, meh. It's on Netflix, and it's called The Adam Project. Have you heard of it, Mike?
I have. That's like Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. It
Jennifer,
is.
Yeah, okay. Jennifer Garner?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. No, you're yeah. right. Jennifer Garner plays the mom, his mom.
Right.
In retrospect, and it's about after accidentally crash landing in 2022, time-traveling fighter pilot Adam Reed teams up with his 12-year-old self for a mission to save the future. And it is just, it's a big movie. You know, it's like one of those blockbuster, it's like a summer blockbuster movie. And it was good for the family, which was good. The kids, there was a couple times where they said like, damn or hell. And my kids are like, ooh, I'm like, you guys know. But I loved it. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds plays the lead. Mark Ruffalo plays his father. The kid who plays his younger self, Walker Scobell, was delightful. And Catherine Keener plays a lead as well. And Zoe Saldana's in it. You know, it's one of those, it's that genre of movie that if you're going to watch like an independent film, this is not the movie for you. You know, or if that's what you want.
Right.
But if you're in the mood for something big, and I felt I had lots of feels. I don't want to give away anything because I really think, Mike, you should watch it because I do know you like these actors. And,
yeah,
you know, we don't see Jennifer Garner in enough stuff. She's really she's a powerful actress, I think. But I love the hell out of Ryan Reynolds. I love him. I think he's great. He makes me laugh. He's funny. And he seems like a nice person. He also is very honest about his anxiety and depression, which I enjoy as well. So that's what I'm digging.
Yeah.
I'm digging The Adam Project. It's on Netflix. Highly recommend. Good afternoon. And even if you don't have kids, it's adult enough. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up because it's one that I had wanted to watch. I'd read quite a bit on it because there was a lot of like conversation amongst the actors. Because it's also sort of because Mark Ruffalo and Jennifer Garner were like 13 going on 30. That
oh,
movie
yeah,
that
that's
came out.
Right.
Right. It's sort of
yeah.
like a reunion for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad that you brought that up. Yeah, that's going on my list because I definitely want to watch that. I'm still, for the record, I'm still watching and very much enjoying Dollface.
Okay.
I'm almost done with season one. Once again, I'll watch it and think I should not be enjoying this as much as I am. Like, it is kind of like Pretty Girls in LA doing like fun things. But it's like, I laugh out loud every episode.
Oh, good.
At least 3 or 4 times I laugh out loud. Like, I just think it's really funny. I am continuing to enjoy it. So there's my update on that.
I love that.
The thing that I really want to talk about this week, and it's just like the barrage of miniseries. They're just so many. It's just miniseries after miniseries, and there are so many on my list. I'm like currently juggling like I think 5, and then there are so many on deck that I want to watch. So I'm not even recommending to anyone. I just want to talk about a person. I want to talk about a person who I love and is in one of these things right now, and it's continuing my theme of awesome actresses playing really cool roles in miniseries. I think back to the season where Anne Hathaway was winning all of the awards for Les Mis, and everyone was just mad at her. Like,
right.
I don't know, it was the weirdest season where she was, like, inarguably, sorry, the best thing about that movie. Like, that movie kind of ended when that character died, and then, like, kind of came back with Samantha Barks playing Eponine, like, that I thought that was, in, like, a breath of fresh air, but Anne Hathaway was so good in Les Mis, and we kind of like were mean to her about it. I don't know. It's really weird.
Yeah, why was that? Somebody started that because that.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, here's another thing that I'll say about it. And we're going to get into this as a topic later on. But even there was a female friend of mine who was like, Anne Hathaway, she just seems like that girl who always raises her hand in class. And I was like, why is that a bad thing? Like, why? Also, like, as a woman, and that's, I don't mean to be, you know, but like, why would you say that? Like, why would a smart woman bother you? And to her credit, this question. Friend of mine was like, you are very correct. That is something that I should look into. That is something that I should reflect upon. So
I know why. Can I say I know why?
Okay. Yeah. Go,
because
please. Tell
me. I think sometimes I get irritated. It's because you hate that you don't have the confidence to be that, I don't know, raising your hand.
I agree. I 100% agree.
I feel like I sit in places sometimes growing up even, and I would get irritated, but I'm so upset and sad with myself that I can't just raise my hand and feel, I mean, I'm much better now that I am 43 years old, but as a kid and growing up, I didn't feel like I could raise my hand because I was like afraid of being wrong. I was afraid of looking silly. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So Anne Hathaway right now is in a miniseries called We Crashed. It's on Apple TV Plus.
I want to watch this.
So it's in some ways a tough miniseries because the two characters are kind of reprehensible. Like,
yeah.
And I feel that they're real people. Like, they're real people. And
I know
and
people
I will
who
say
worked
that
for the WeWork guy.
I as well knew people that worked for WeWork. And it's funny, that funny thing where I actually don't know this story. I haven't watched any documentaries. I don't know why we crash. Like, I don't know why it all goes badly in the end. Because it's that thing that you're watching it. And like, I've worked in WeWork spaces before and they were awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, like, this was a brilliant idea. Like, whoever did this is a genius, and this is clearly going to be successful forever. And apparently it's not. And I don't know how it all goes down, so I'm very curious to see where it goes. It's a very interesting miniseries, and I am overall enjoying it. Anne Hathaway is so good and so specific. I know nothing about this character she's playing, so I have no idea if it's spot on. I have no idea. But it's such a, like, difficult. It's not a, I just cannot imagine this being an easy character to play. And she is so good. Just her physicality, her voice work that she's doing, just her hilarious throwaway moments. This character apparently in real life was cousins of Gwyneth Paltrow. And in the second episode, it's like it's her getting married, and like everyone keeps asking if Gwyneth is going to be there, and it's good. It's just funny. So that's just Anne Hathaway. I love her in general. I think she's such a fantastic actress. I don't know why the world decided to turn on her. I hope that she can just be recognized as like the amazing actress that she is. So there you go, Anne Hathaway and We Crashed. I love her so much.
Awesome. It's fun.
Anything you could do without in particular?
You know, I just want to shout out to one of our listeners, Michael, in Vancouver, BC. He has gone through some health issues, and I think he's getting better now. But my gosh, I just want to, I guess what I could do without is cancer, guys. Cancer. Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah. I said the F word, but like really. But I think he's doing well and cancer free, and I hope you don't mind me shouting you out this way. But I just send all of our love, and I know it's a road to recovery still, but that's what I want to use this space for, my little time for.
I love it. That's great. I love that. I sort of have two do withouts, but they're both, actually, I'm going to turn them around because they're do withouts that I'm going to try to do with,
okay.
If that makes any sense.
All right.
So my roommate has a particular, I don't know if I'm supposed to not say brands, who cares? He has an espresso machine.
Sure.
And so I recently have converted and I've been buying the pods, and it's super convenient, and I really enjoy it very, very much. I learned how to clean it, which there's another word for it, and it was not simple, but now that I know how to do it. So so I, the last Sunday, went down to Soho because there's a little Nespresso shop there. Also, quick side note, I was walking through Soho and overheard someone say, do you want to find a green juice? And I was like, yeah, I'm in Soho on a Sunday afternoon. That's my fault. I have to hear that. Do you want to find a green juice? So I went to Nespresso and I got my pods and it was funny that as I was there, I heard someone be like, oh, he's here. And I kind of looked around like, oh, is there someone famous here? And whatever. I went to leave. And as I was leaving, there was a man outside who was clearly like protesting. And I didn't look right away. And then he was like, can you just look at my sign? And I looked, and it had to do with the war in Ukraine, and then it had to do with Nespresso's parent company. Nespresso was owned by Nestle. So I felt awful because I care very deeply about what's happening in Ukraine right now. And I care very deeply about children being mistreated. And what I'll say is I then did a deep dive. Like, I did my research and I looked into, and honestly, if you just put into a search engine, why is Nestle awful? Like, you'll find many articles about their very sordid history and the truly atrocious things that this company has done in the past. And I don't know what to 100% do with the information, because I do think to a certain extent there aren't any amazing huge companies. Like, I think that most huge companies have done horrible things in the past. And so I guess what I'm saying by that is, like, I'm probably still going to buy Nespresso pods. I'm probably still going to use that. I do think it's good to be aware. I do think it's good to, like, educate yourself, because also right now on Broadway, there's a revival of David Mamet's American Buffalo, and I would like to see it. There are some great actors in it. I did not realize, and I spent, this is one of, like, the three or four rabbit holes that I went down before we started recording, like, just looking up David Mamet and, like, recent interviews that he's done, and he has a collection of essays that recently came out, and he is decidedly to the right. Like, he's quite right wing. He's a Trump supporter. I had heard from someone. I'd heard from someone that he was also kind of Q, that he was also kind of like, Democrats are eating grooming babies. Young children. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't find verification of that. It's probably, if it's there, I'm sure that it's findable, but I didn't see that in the articles that I was reading about. And, you know, I'm not someone who, if you're right wing, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Like, once again, I want to understand everyone. I want to, like, understand what people's thought processes are. It feels different with Trump because he feels like his own beast that I kind of don't know. I don't know how to, like, parse that with not being a terrible person. And I, if someone disagrees with me, talk to me. Like, don't, I want to understand. So then I have that thing of, like, am I going to go see this revival? And then someone else was saying that, like, his wife has the, like, I don't know. It's all this, like, murky ground of, like, who are you supporting when you support something like that? I'm going to go see tonight. I'm going to see the Harry Potter play that I saw in the past when it was two parts and now it's one part. And a good friend of mine and her fiance, and she's a big Harry Potter fan, and we're going to go see this play, and I'm very excited. And I don't know how to parse that with, like, am I giving money to J.K. Rowling, who is not supportive of trans people? And I don't know. It's so difficult. So I guess what I could do without is just those murky waters of, like, where am I giving my money to? And, like, what is being done with the money that I spend? And the way that I want to try to turn around is that I guess it's just try to be aware and try to do as much research. I don't know. I don't have a super satisfactory ending to this other than trying to be aware without making yourself completely crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the answer. I do the same thing with, like, you know, cleaning products that I use and, like, how I'm recycling. And I feel like I carry a lot of guilt because I don't know. And then if I could just find out, then maybe I'd be feeling better about whatever, you know, it is. So you're right. The murky waters, that's fascinating. I mean, that's where I'm like, let's bring in an expert, you know?
Right. Yeah, because then I listened to this podcast about plastic and how, like, most plastic is not recyclable, and how the millions and millions of dollars that the plastic industry spent on convincing us that plastics were safe and recyclable when they weren't. And all those little, like, arrow triangle things that have different numbers, it's because, like, two different kinds of them can actually be recycled, and everything else is just going to end up being waste. And it's just
that
hard
is so upsetting.
Being a human.
I know. Oh, God.
So there you go. It's not the most fun. And, you know, not that it leads us into this, but the thing that I wanted to talk about this week sort of harkens back to one of the things that I was just referring to. And that is, I kind of wanted to talk about feminism. And it can be a big topic. And I guess it's tough for me, because the reason why this popped into my head was that both my roommate and then a coworker of mine were talking about Dolly Parton and how huge, and I know that you love Dolly Parton too, and this is not me about to say anything bad about Dolly Parton, but I used to have a really big issue with her inability to call herself a feminist, that she would say, you know, I'm not a feminist, I'm feminine. And I was always like, that's a dumb line, but
it
irked me a bit. And then there was an interview with Joni Mitchell, whom I adore, who basically said the same thing, that she didn't really like identifying as a feminist. And I was like, why? Because to me, feminist has always just meant that you think women are equal and deserving of equal rights. And that's kind of blanketly what I've always thought of it to be. But then this coworker that I brought this up with was like, well, I don't love calling myself a feminist because now there's all like the neo-feminism and the next wave feminism and like TERFs and that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, but what if we just say that's not what it is? Like, why can't we just claim feminism as what I want it to be?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I need to do more research, obviously. But like in my mind, it was just, it's about all genders having equal rights and opportunities and making sure that people who, you know, I think we need, in my mind, feminism is just equal rights, but those people, like, say, who have not the same opportunities, some women, we need to make sure that they have their full rights. That's what I think. I mean, you know, I saw some meme where it was like, you know, since no woman or whatever, all the only people in the room writing the Constitution were the white men, then it's going to need updated every once in a while, you know, because of that. I never felt weird about calling myself a feminist because I thought I just want equal rights and I want other women to have equal rights.
Yeah. And I guess my reasoning behind, because then someone was like, well, why isn't it just humanist? And I'm like, well, because a certain population of the humans have always had all the rights.
Yeah.
Because even when you say that it's
the same thing with Black Lives Matter.
Right. Correct. That like the point is not, I would love to live in a world where you would say all, but right now that's not what's important. Right now what's important is that Black Lives Matter and that women who, because you were talking about it all being men writing the Constitution, and it wasn't even just that it was a bunch of white men writing in the Constitution, it was white rich men who wanted to make sure that they stayed in power. Like they were writing that to make sure that rich white men would continue to be rich white men and that they would always be the ones in power. So yeah, that's why we need feminism, because women have been kept down for so long.
Yeah. It's interesting that Joni Mitchell, I actually didn't know that Dolly Parton, because I think of Dolly Parton as a feminist and like a strong activist as well, but I didn't know she said that. And I'm like, can we just define it a little bit, like just say no, you're wrong, neo is whatever. I don't know what the other forms of feminism are. I really should do the work, but it's an interesting it's an interesting topic, I'll say that.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be, I don't want to lose the term feminism because it's been radicalized by certain feminists.
Good.
I don't know. Yeah,
I think that's great.
So I'm holding tight. I'm a feminist.
Me too. It rocks.
So any feminism rocks.
It rocks.
I'm seeing so many shows. We didn't even talk about in my review of my week that I saw two plays last week. And I guess it's because I kind of just only liked both of them. But I'm also seeing two shows. I'm seeing Harry Potter tonight. I'm seeing two shows tomorrow that I'm real excited about. I'm seeing POTUS in the matinee, which is like Vanessa Williams, Rachel Dratch. I'm forgetting a bunch of amazing women, but I'm so excited. And then tomorrow night, I'm seeing Take Me Out, which I'm also excited for because, well, first of all, it's so weird to me that I've lived in New York long enough for a new play to get revived.
Oh, wow.
Because I saw this play when it was originally on Broadway like 20 something years ago. And here's my honest confession. I didn't like it that much. So I'm curious to see it again all this time later.
Yeah.
To see how I feel about it. But yeah, I'll have those to talk about
Please,
next week.
I cannot wait.
Do you have anything random for us?
Yes, I'm just loving the Instagram. And I found, well, somebody posted yesterday, my good friend, Molly. So it was just a post, and it was from the Instagram handle, The Good Quote. And I kind of love this because I feel, lately I've been feeling like I don't have enough time for everything. I don't feel like I'm ever present, and I'm just hopping to the next, to the next, to the next. So my goal for like next month, May, will be, it says, from now on, try to schedule your month with these. One lunch date with a friend, 24 hours, no social media, one day outdoors, although I might need more because I can't I need that. One movie night, I definitely need more. And one day serving others, which I would love to find a way to do. And then one day completely to myself. And I feel like we all could use that.
I think that sounds amazing. Right? I'm going to write that down.
I'll take a screen grab for you, babe.
Yeah, please do.
I need to take a break from social media. And I also, now that the world is feeling a little bit more safe or whatever, like in terms of, the virus and getting together with friends, I can start like getting together with friends again for real. I want to do that. I miss people. All these things will fill me up and make me feel more present and human. Because right now, I don't even feel like a feminine or a human. I feel like a person just like barely touching the ground when I'm walking. You know, I'm just getting to the next thing.
I know. I'm trying to think if there's that Alanis Morissette line where she says, oh gosh, I'm going to say it wrong. But she's like, why is it so hard to move forward and so easy to get stuck and not the other way around? Whenever I think of that, I'm like, preach.
I know. Oh, that's good, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. And I definitely want to like look at that list because it sounds very worthy of sticking to.
Yeah.
So my random thing, we're going to go back to that area that I was talking about earlier down near like 14th Street on the west side, because as I was walking by, there's so much new stuff, like the piers we were talking about and the parks and all of that. And there's another one that they're redoing. And there was like this weird little blurb of like, did you know there was once a 13th Avenue in New York City? And I was like, I did not know that there was once a 13th Avenue in New York City. And I suppose this is mostly interesting for people that know New York. But so I looked this thing up. So here, I'm going to read this kind of quickly. So the grid street plan created for Manhattan in 1811 called for 12 grand north-south avenues. Lexington and Madison were later shoehorned into the layout. Interesting right there, I think.
That is.
In 1837, however, with the city eager to expand and create more commercial shoreline, plans were made to create a 13th Avenue by landfilling hundreds of feet of the Hudson River from 11th to 135th Street.
Huh.
The city sold underwater plots of quote-unquote land to interested parties who began hauling in trash and dirt and paving the results, allowing 13th Avenue to slowly rise from the waters. Its emergence, however, was short-lived. At its greatest extent, 13th Avenue ran from 11th Street to 29th Street, where it merged with 12th Avenue. Then, around the turn of the century, New York found that it needed to build new, longer piers to accommodate the larger ocean liners that at the time represented the state of the art in marine vessels. Unfortunately, 13th Avenue did not leave enough room to build these piers without extending beyond the city's jurisdiction, so officials opted instead to demolish the newly built avenue to make way for the construction of Chelsea Piers.
Oh.
The only block that was spared was the site of the West Washington Market, the small outcropping which today is known as Ganzevoort Peninsula. Although not appearing on any official maps and not signposted, Google Maps still shows one block remnants of the old avenue, which, being a Department of Sanitation facility, is not open to the public. It speaks to a time when the city of New York was such a booming port town that it officially created an avenue and then erased it, both for the sake of dock space.
Wow.
So, yeah, now that they are redoing the Ganzevoort Peninsula, it will eventually be open to the public, and you will once again be able to walk along one block of 13th Avenue, which I think is so interesting.
Fascinating. Yes.
Yeah. All these fun little things that I was discovering as I walked to and fro, near 14th Street. Anyways, there you go. There's my random stuff.
Oh my gosh. I swear to God, Mike, I'm like, okay, for $2,000, Mike will take you out for a day. 5 hours.
5 hours. We'll walk around New York. Yeah. I'll tell you all the facts. I love it. I should look into that as my new profession.
Oh,
well, that was super fun.
I love you.
And we have so much more to talk about, but that'll be up for this week. And I'm excited to catch up again. And then we need to talk privately because we have private things to
talk about as well. It's true. Just a few.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not @gmail.com. We're also on Twitter
Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Is that you, Mike? Is there a police?
It is. There's a siren. It's fine. Let's let it pass. Please go away.
He didn't do it.
Okay.